We read Sacred Scripture this morning in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 19. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. We read the word of God this far. Let us hear the word of God this morning in verse 9 of Revelation 19. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. What the Apostle John was told to write about the guests at the future heavenly wedding supper applies to us who are guests at this supper on earth this morning. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Essentially, these suppers are one and the same. That future supper is described in the text as the supper of the Lamb. That is, the supper of Jesus Christ as the one who was sacrificed for the sins of His people. This supper is also the supper of the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 11, it is called the Lord's Supper. Both of these suppers celebrate the same great event, the marriage of the Lamb and Lord Jesus Christ and His chosen church. The food at both of the suppers is essentially the same. The body and blood of Jesus Christ bestowing the spiritual food and drink of salvation. And the persons who are in attendance at these suppers are the same. At the coming heavenly supper, they will be the Lamb and the multitude of elect believers and their children who make up the church. The persons at this wedding supper are also the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. There's such a close connection between that future heavenly supper spoken of in our text and this Lord's Supper that we celebrate this morning, that this Lord's Supper is one of the ways in which Christ calls His church to that future heavenly supper that the text speaks of. We are called to that future heavenly supper. And one way in which we are called to it, the means by which we are called to it, is the Lord's Supper. Through the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, Christ preserves His church in the chastity of the bride to be of Jesus Christ. And by this Lord's Supper, Jesus Christ strengthens each one of us who partakes in faith so that we continue faithfully along the way that leads finally to that great marriage supper spoken of in the text. The Lord's Supper is not an empty sign. The Lord's Supper is a means of grace, a powerful means by which Jesus calls His church and calls you and me individually to the goal of the marriage supper of the Lamb and His wife. the blessedness that is pronounced upon the guests who will finally sit down at the heavenly wedding supper, therefore, is a blessedness that we already begin to receive and to enjoy now. We are blessed who partake, and we will be blessed in our partaking. Blessed are the guests at the wedding supper. They are the objects of the favor of God in Jesus Christ. They are the recipients of the goodness of God in Jesus Christ. Deliverance from sin and death, and the partaking in the benefits of life eternal. And blessed are they because they enjoy, experientially enjoy, the favor and goodness of God. Let's hear that word briefly this morning. Blessed guests at the marriage supper. Blessed, pronounces the word of God, are the guests at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And in order that there may be no doubt about the truth of this pronouncement, the text adds, these are the true sayings of God. Blessed are the guests at the marriage supper, first of all, in attending that marriage supper. To attend that marriage supper will be blessedness because of the worth, the importance, and the honorableness of that event itself, as well as because of the honorableness of those who are participants in that marriage supper. The marriage supper that the text speaks of will be the celebration of the perfection of the covenant of God in Jesus Christ with His church. When Christ comes again and raises His church from the dead, or translates them regarding their bodies into the new resurrection bodies, then will be set the marriage supper of the Lamb. That will be the perfection of the covenant of God with His people, represented by the familiar figure of a marriage. Everlasting salvation will be the celebration of a marriage. By the way, we must learn from the text that the emphasis that our churches place upon the marriage bond is not a quirk of these churches, but is grounded in Scripture. History began with a marriage in the Garden of Eden, and history will conclude as the very goal of all of God's ways and works in history, with a marriage, the real marriage, the marriage that our earthly marriages only picture, the covenant, intimate communion of Jesus Christ and His church. God planned this marriage in His eternal counsel. Jesus Christ came into the world by His passion to redeem His church and give to her the right to be His bride. Now, throughout history, by the preaching of the gospel and by the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, Jesus Christ is gathering all the individual elect members of His bride to Himself. Marriage will be consummated and solemnized Now we're engaged to Him. But when He comes, the marriage will be solemnized and consummated in this great marriage supper of the Lamb. What an honor to participate in that festival. Blessed are those who are called to that marriage supper. The verses that precede our text make plain that those who, according to our text, will be the guests at that marriage supper are also, in their unity, the bride, who is part of the wedding party at that great celebration of the marriage. So we read in verse 7, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready." What an honor to be the queen and the consort of King Jesus in the new creation. Our text looks at that same honor from the viewpoint of each individual elect believing member of this church. Even today in earthly society, to receive an invitation to the solemnization of the wedding of somebody who is rich or powerful and famous is an honor. How much more of an honor to be called to that festival. There you will sit down to rub shoulders with those who were truly important in the history of the world, the great men and the great women of history. Abraham and Sarah, they will be sitting over there at that great marriage board. There will be Elijah and the rest of the prophets. There will be the apostles of Jesus Christ. There will be Luther. There will be Calvin. And why do we so distinguish these worthies? Because everyone who sits at that table will be sons and daughters of God, kings and queens under Jesus Christ over the whole creation. And above all, the honor of being called to attend that marriage supper will be that you and I will sit down with the Lamb, with Jesus Christ Himself in the body, in all the glory of His resurrection body, with His head covered, as we read this morning, with many crowns. And in Him, the triune God will sit down with you and me. Blessed are those who are called to this supper in attending, because of the honor of the occasion. Yes, and blessed you and I will be in attending because of the food and drink at that supper. That will be a supper. And the table will be spread with bounties and delicacies. The food and the drink will be the spiritual blessings of salvation that become ours in their fullness from the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. Really, the food at that banquet will be the same as the food and drink that you partake of by faith this morning. The broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ, in the benefits that accrue to us from them. Forgiveness for all our sins. A righteousness consisting of perfect obedience to the law of God, ours, through faith in Jesus Christ. Then a perfect holiness, so that we are without spot and without wrinkle of sin. And joy, great joy, in our fellowship with Jesus Christ. Oh, how that food and drink will minister to all our needs. It will perfectly answer to all the ache of broken hearts. It will minister to all the sorrows that we endured in our pilgrimage in the world. It will invigorate us, will this food and this drink, to an abundant spiritual life, body and soul. It will be the nourishment that causes us to love God and His Son and each other perfectly forever. This is the food that we already begin to eat and drink in the sacrament attached to the word this morning, just as we already begin to have the honor of sitting down with Christ, because He's present at this supper too, sitting down with the rest of the children of God of this congregation at the Lord's table this morning. Blessed are those called to the supper because of the food and drink that are ours at this supper. Yes, and blessed are those who are called to this marriage supper in attending because of the sheer joy of participation in this marriage supper. The emphasis really is on that aspect of the blessedness, as is evident from the opening words of this section of Revelation 19, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice. Suppers after our earthly weddings are more than opportunities to eat and to drink. They are also and especially the occasion of sheer, bubbling, exuberant joy. We share in the joy of a godly wedding. We share in the joy of the married couple. We share in the joy of the parents and grandparents. And we speak together about the table at our celebrations of weddings. And so it is, so it will be, when we sit down as those who are called about the marriage supper of the Lamb. Ours then will be the joy of victory over sin and death. Ours will be the joy of the reward for patiently bearing the burdens that God has put upon us, a reward with which the sorrows and the struggles cannot be compared. Ours will be the joy of deliverance from the ungodly world, which is banished from God's new creation. Ours will be the joy of a perfect experience of communion with Christ, close fellowship with Christ, and in Christ with God Himself. And that joy will be everlasting, and we know that it will be everlasting, and that will add to our joy. We are joyful at the earthly marriage suppers. Those are good occasions, good nights for us. We have a good time at those suppers. But the minutes fly quickly, and the next morning we must take up our toil and go back again to the burdens of our earthly life. And so it is with regard to our celebration of the supper this morning. This is a great good time. There is exuberance here as we sit down with Christ and His people about the delicacies that are spread on this table. And perhaps that lasts all day, and then tomorrow there is again the weary pilgrimage, the struggle against sin, the hardships of life, the sorrows, the disappointments. Ah, but when we sit down at that heavenly marriage supper, we know the joy of it will never end. Never again sorrows. Never again disappointments. Never again the fall into sin and judgments and chastisements. Never again the intrusion of death into our merriment and our festivity. There's a beginning of that joy as we partake of this supper this morning. We mustn't come to the table. No matter what our earthly sorrows, no matter how heavy our earthly burdens, grim, somber, long-faced, this is a moment of joy. Blessed are we who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb this morning. Oh, and blessed are the guests at this supper, because the only alternative is to be consigned to another supper, about which we read at the end of Revelation 19, a gruesome, dreadful supper, a supper in which the ungodly are themselves the food of the fowls of the air, under the wrath of God forever. For these guests are limited to those who are called. And there are many who are not called. They're banished from this great banquet hall of light and mirth and joy and love and life and fellowship into the outer and everlasting darkness, where the fowls of the wrath of God consume them, body and soul, forever. Oh, yes, blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. They are not only blessed in their attending, but they're also blessed in being called. The call is not an invitation that depends upon our acceptance. It isn't an invitation with RSVP at the bottom, reply if you are willing. If that were what the call is, there would never be one guest at the wedding supper of the Lamb. So foolish, so depraved are we by nature that all of us would decline the invitation. But this call is the effectual, almighty, irresistible call of Christ to His bride in history, and each member of that body and bride of Jesus Christ individually. It comes through the gospel as this morning. Come, come to Christ. Come to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Come to that great heavenly wedding feast that is in the future. And by His Holy Spirit working with that word, He draws us irresistibly to Himself and to this table, and through that table to the table that is being set now for us for our everlasting partaking and merrymaking. This is the call that works faith in us so that we believe on Jesus Christ. We cast ourselves upon Him for forgiveness and eternal life. We look to Him for strength for all our difficulties in the way. It's the faith that loves Him, not as strongly as we should, but that loves Him, and a faith that desires to partake of the banquet that is coming. That call is a gracious call. It comes out of God's election. It's a call that is extended by Jesus Christ to us, even though we're not worthy of that call. It's a call that makes us worthy of sitting down at that coming marriage festival. You must be worthy Such an honorable event is that, that you must be worthy, and I must. You must have a perfect righteousness. We have nothing of it, but He clothes us with that righteousness as we read this morning, imputing to us His own obedience, His own satisfaction to the justice of God by His suffering, by His death. And it's a call that prepares us by making us holy. There's a beginning of that now. The table is for those who have a sincere desire to obey all of the commandments of God. And one day that call, when it raises our bodies from the dead, will prepare us perfectly in that we will be perfectly holy, body and soul. Blessed are we, not only in attending, but also in being called to the table. That call is of such a nature that it makes us confident that we are called. You can't mistake this calling. Just as when you get an invitation in the mail to a wedding, your name is at the bottom. There's no doubt about it, whether the invitation is for you. So it is with the call of Christ to us this morning who are to be His guests at this marriage supper. You believe from the heart. You believe with a faith that repents of sin. You believe with a faith that looks to Christ for forgiveness. You believe with a faith that loves Him and loves His communion. And since it is all of grace, the last word is this: Alleluia. Praise Jehovah. Salvation and glory and honor and power with regard to the marriage supper of our husband and us unto the Lord our God. Amen. Let's read together the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper. The form is found on pages 91 and following in the back of the Psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves, secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to His remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, let everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of His Word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord with those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding, we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted His supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of Him. Now after this manner are we to remember Him by it. First, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that He assumed our flesh and blood, that He bore for us the wrath of God under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of His incarnation to the end of His life upon earth, that He hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of Him the bloody sweat in the garden, where He was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that He afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that He was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, Yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. And finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation when he said, it is finished. Secondly, that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life, as this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross as the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtain for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head, and in us as his members, might have true communion with him, and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same spirit may also be united as members of one body, in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, for we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who hath so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God, and with true faith implore his grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ. That our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace. that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in eternity. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. While the table is being prepared, the congregation sings stanzas 1 and 3 of number 52. 1 and 3 of 52.
Thank you.
Bread which we break is a communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat, remember, and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was broken unto a complete remission of all our sins. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, the nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Isaiah 55. The cup of blessing which we bless is a communion of the blood of Christ. Take, drink ye all of it, remember and believe that the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ was shed unto a complete remission of all our sins. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving. And everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us give thanks to God in prayer. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render Thee most humble and hearty thanks that Thou hast of Thy infinite mercy given us Thine only begotten Son for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that Thou givest us lively faith whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his Holy Supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech Thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of Thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with Him, through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.